This evening we shall look together at a few verses found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah, chapter 31. Before we consider some words that were revealed to the prophet, let us pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon our study. So let us pray together. Our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have revealed yourself to be the shepherd of your sheep. You are the one who feeds, who guides, who protects your people. And we come to you this night, and you know all that is going on in our lives. And we ask that you might be pleased to give us a word that would cleanse, a word that would strengthen, a word that would give us direction, a verse, a statement that might be a great help to us. And you know all that we'll be facing in the coming days. And again, we ask that by means of your truth, you would equip us to face whatever you bring into our lives, that our response would be one that would bring honor to you and that would do good to others and set forth a testimony of your power within us. And so now, blessed Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands and ask that your name be honored and that we, your people, might be helped to become better in our service to you. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. There was a lot more involved than I thought there would be. There was a lot more involved than what I thought there would be. Most likely you have experienced the truth of that statement a few times in your life. There was a lot more involved than I thought there would be. You might have experienced the truth of that statement, say, if you took on a little project around the house. You thought that would be simple and quick, and so you started in, and lo and behold, there's certainly a lot more involved than you thought there would be. The same thing might be true in what you would think to be a very simple matter of cleaning out an overstuffed closet or a storage shed. I mean, after all that overstuffed closet, all you have to do is grab and toss things. And so you start that project and you grab something, you start to toss it, and you say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, I might need this later on. Or some of my kids might need this. And then again, you get down an old box of pictures and you sit there and you start looking through all those old pictures and you laugh and you almost cry and you say, well, I don't think I can get rid of these. And so you see this matter of simply cleaning out an overstuffed closet, there may be more involved than you think. Or again, a student in school, of course, none of our students would do that, but you need a couple of quick, easy credits. And so you've heard about a two-credit course in the arts. Everybody says you don't have to do anything. And you get two easy credits. And so you sign up for the class, you get into it, and boy, you find out you're going to be working your tail off. There's a lot more involved than you thought there would be. And from there, we can consider the fact that when you stray from God, getting back into fellowship with Him, there could be a lot more involved than you thought there would be. And this is the experience of the people of God down through the ages, and I assume you've had that experience a few times. Straying from God, getting back into fellowship with Him, there's a lot more involved than you thought there would be. And I think that's illustrated tonight, and certainly throughout the book of Jeremiah, as regards the people who are sent into captivity. The Lord's going to bring them back to the land. The Lord's going to greatly bless them, but they find out there's a lot more involved than what they thought there would be. And so tonight we'll look at a few verses out of this 31st chapter. But as you recall, chapters 30, 31, Bible students refer to them as comfort chapters. In other words, the prophet is comforting the people, those who are going to go into captivity, and some of them are already in captivity. And so it's chapters that kind of go back and forth, addressing people already in captivity, addressing people who have not yet gone into captivity. And then one time we looked at the people who had been supposedly restored to the land, and it's a very joyous occasion. And so things kind of go back and forth. Well, tonight it appears to me that He's addressing people who will yet go into captivity. And the people need to be encouraged, especially those who are already there, because the false prophets followed them along and said it'll be a very short captivity. And then the Lord comes with His prophet and says, 70 years. And the people are just devastated. 70 years. Well, that means really that I'm just never going to get back to the land the Lord promised, the Lord gave to our forefathers. But the Lord says, yes, you will. 70 years, and you'll return. Well, tonight, the section we'll look at, we'll start at verse 21 and work our way down to verse 26. And as I said, it appears He's addressing the people who have not yet gone into captivity. And so verse 21 we read, set up signposts, make landmarks, set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O virgin of Israel, turn back to these your cities. How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall encompass a man. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, they shall again use this speech in the land of Judah and in its cities when I bring back their captivity. The Lord bless you, home of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all its cities together farmers and those going out with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. After this, I awoke and looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Amen. Well, as we look back over these verses and try to gain some understanding and some help for our own lives, I want us to start off, first of all, by thinking about a charge. A charge is given to the people. In other words, verse 21, we are told, set up signposts, make landmarks, set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O virgin of Israel, turn back to these your cities. And so a charge is given to the people, I take it, who will soon be going into captivity. They have a responsibility. Now the Lord has told them very plainly, more than once, that I'm going to bring you out of this captivity. You go back to chapter 30, verse 3. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And then verse 18, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. And then even in the section that I read, it spoke about the fact, I will bring back their captivity. So the Lord has given a promise to these people. He will bring them back from their captivity. But all the while, they have some responsibilities. They have some things that they are to do. And so you see, even though a child of God may be undergoing chastisement, he may be under the Father's rod, he still has responsibilities. He is still to obey the Word of God, you see. Well, what is said here? How do we make some sense out of this? Set up signposts, make landmarks, set your heart toward the highway. It seems to me what he's saying, look, you're going to be taken captive. You're going to be marched down a highway. You're going to be going to Babylon. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to set up some landmarks. Maybe have a little pile of stones here or there. Well, would they be able to do that? Well, possibly, or leastwise in their minds, they were to make mental notes about the way they were going. Why? So when they come back, they can find their way. When they come back, they can find their way. They had to mark things out. They didn't have the GPA like we do nowadays, you see. And I know my wife and I don't use them, but if we go someplace, we'll say, oh, let's remember that baseball stadium. Over here, this Marriott, we got to remember that. And so we go someplace from our hotel if we're on vacation, and then as we're returning, we might say, uh-oh, I think I made a wrong turn. No! There's that ball state. We're on the right track. And so here with these people, they're coming back 70 years. But look, there are some marks that our forefathers told us about, because most of the people who go into captivity will probably die in captivity. But they have their children. They are to instruct their children. They are to inform their children. And so you set up signposts. You mark landmarks. What was this doing? Encouraging the people. God will keep His word. God's word is certain. You do what I'm telling you. But then he says something else to them. You notice, set your heart toward the highway. Set your heart upon the highway. Set your heart upon the fact that you are going to return to the land. I will bring you out. Set your heart upon it. Well, how do you set your heart upon it? Well, obviously, one way, you think a great deal about it. And you try to talk about it. You keep reminding yourself about it. The Lord has given a promise. And for some of them, they could remember the land. They could remember the city, Jerusalem. They could remember the temple. They could remember certain buildings. They could remember certain events. Set your heart upon it. Perhaps we could think of those who get involved in the Olympic Games every 4 years. Well, for 4 years, can you imagine training, training, training? Wouldn't you get sick of that? Wouldn't you get tired of that? Wouldn't you get discouraged? Wouldn't you say, forget it? What keeps an athlete going in such a situation? Well, it could be that he has seen those Olympic Games and he's seen that part where you have the three platforms and you have the top platform and that's the gold medal winner and you hear the national anthem, the song of the United States, and he keeps thinking about those things. That's what I want! That's what I want! And he pushes himself day in and day out. And so here are the people. Set your heart upon it. You'll go back to the land of promise. And it says, you notice, look and remember these cities and turn back. Turn back to these, your city. And so he's giving them a charge. And he says, why are you gad about? Why so much instability? Why this backsliding daughter? And then he says, the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. What could be the new thing that's been created in the earth is this matter of this release. It's a great thing to be brought out of the land of the Chaldeans back to your own land. And then the statement is made, a woman shall encompass a man. And I have no idea what that means. And I have a very few commentaries, and the way they write, they don't either. But one thing is somewhat interesting. Well, they might say a woman will be strong like a man, or something else. A woman shall encompass a man, and the word man is not Adam, but Gabor, and it has reference to a strong man, a mighty man, a great warrior. And so many say here, a little hint about the incarnation. The great, mighty God encompassed by a woman. Maybe that is. But here, set your heart upon these highways. You are going to come back. And so what might be involved in this coming back? Well, we could put it this way. They're going to be retracing their steps. Many of them who went into captivity quite young will still be, they're going to be retracing their steps. And you see quite often where you have a true repentance, you're going to be retracing your steps. Sometimes we need to retrace our steps. You're familiar with the story of the prodigal son. He comes to himself. He's going to go to his father's house. What does he do? He has to retrace his steps. And don't you imagine all the way back to his father's house, as he retraces his steps, he thinks about what he has done. He thinks about how he has acted. And so these people, they're going to retrace their steps. They're going back to the land. Don't you imagine? They did some thinking about why did we wind up in the captivity? What did our forefathers do? What did some of us do? Where did we go astray? Where did we start slipping and slipping and slipping until we were given over to this idolatry? And so you see, repentance a lot of times involves thinking and retracing your steps and asking yourself, how did I get into this mess? And most often we don't get tangled and caught in a sin, just lickety-split all at once. No, they're little steps usually. What were those steps? And you've read Pilgrim's Progress, and they go astray. And what happens? Well, the pilgrim starts making his way back to the straight and narrow. And as it does, sometimes it says he talks to himself and he calls himself names. How could you be so stupid? And so here they're going to have to retrace their steps. And they're going to do some thinking. What was involved that I went astray? And we can do that on a very personal way. Where did I go astray? What steps did I first take that got me into this trouble? Where did I get so careless? What did I neglect as far as my duties that got me into this trap? True repentance involves a man retracing his steps and doing some thinking. And you can imagine David, after that horrible fall concerning Bathsheba and her husband, he did some thinking and he was very cautious about ever going out on a balcony again. And so we have to learn those things. Retrace your steps. Give heed to your steps. And so this coming week, you'll be taking some steps. By that, you'll be making some decisions. And there's some verses in the book of Proverbs, that fourth chapter. You pick it up at verse 26. Previous to this, it's told us to keep our hearts with all diligence. And then verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. You notice, ponder the path of your feet. Where are you going? What decisions are you going to be faced with in this coming week? And in a sense, you've already made up your mind about certain things. Where are you going? Ponder the path of your feet. The decisions you have made, are they lawful? Are they in any way contrary to God's Word? Ponder the path of your feet. Will it take you away from God? Is it righteous? Will it draw you near to God? And so we need to ponder the path of our feet. Think about what we are doing, the direction that we have taken. Will it be good or will it be bad? And so here are some people. You set up the signposts. You lay out the landmarks. Set your heart toward the high. You will be coming back. Consider the way in which you went. You will come back. And so there is the charge that is given. And there's a charge given to us to consider the way we are going, the steps that we are taking. But in the second place, I think there's in the text a change that's going to take place. Verse 23, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, they shall again use this speech in the land of Judah and in its cities. When I bring back their captivity, the Lord bless you, O home of justice and mountain of holiness. And I assume that has reference to Jerusalem. And so a great change is coming. Why do we say that? Well, previous to the captivity, it was not a place of justice. It was not a place of holiness. But it was a place of great corruption. It was a place of great evil. And so you remember the words that were addressed to those false prophets. You pick it up in chapter 23. And you notice verse 9, it speaks about for verse 11 of chapter 23. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways, in the darkness they shall be driven on, and fall in them, for I will bring disaster on them in the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria, and prophesied by Baal, and caused my people to err. Also I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. And so you see, Jerusalem had become such an evil place. And as regards the judges, there was no justice. There was all this bribery that took place. But when I bring them back, like in days of old, it's going to be a place of holiness. It's going to be a place of justice. Well, how can that be? Because in bringing the people back, he's going to change their hearts. You remember what he says. He brings it out in Ezekiel. I'll change their hearts. And they will loathe themselves for their evil ways. And it could be as they come back on this highway, oh, how they mourn over their past sins and the sins of their fathers. And so there will be a change. A change will take place. And so they were brought back into fellowship with God. But you see, before you can be brought back into fellowship with God, if you've strayed from Him, there needs to be a change, doesn't there? You've strayed from God, you've got your feet entangled in a particular sin, and you want back in fellowship with God, you want to feel the light of His countenance, you want to enjoy a closeness in prayer, well then you need to let go of your sin. Let go of your sin. There can be no true fellowship with God until you let go of it, until you repent. Oh, yes, I know there's that besetting sin you struggle with day in and day out. That's fine. You keep right on struggling. Just don't surrender to it. But if there is a particular sin that you've gotten comfortable with, that you're rather habitual with, you're not going to have any fellowship with God. You need to repent. There needs to be a change. There needs to be a sincere seeking His face and asking for the grace of repentance. There has to be a change if there's going to be fellowship with God. But then briefly, in the third place, you notice there is some comfort given to the people. You pick it up in verse 24, and there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all its cities together, farmers and those going out with flocks. In other words, there's been this change. Isn't that somewhat a picture of peace? Peace? Men involved in a particular trade? Men who, I'm just reading between the lines, seem to me to be enjoying what they're doing. When a man is in fellowship with God, he enjoys what he's doing. He enjoys his calling. And would I be wrong in saying, when do you hate your job? When do you hate your work? Is it a time when you're in real fellowship with God? When you're having real communion with God? I'm not saying that a job is problem-free. In the best of times, you have difficulties as a fallen world, but just to habitually hate your work. Well, maybe you need another job. But when a man's in fellowship with God, he enjoys his calling. He enjoys his work. And so here are people who seem to be working and prospering. But at the same time, there are those people, perhaps those who've just come in, or people in their activities, what happens? Well, they become weary. They become sorrowful. They have trouble. What do? Well, they go to the Lord, and He comforts them. satiated, the word is used in this particular translation. The weary soul. The sorrowful soul. And doesn't God do the same thing for us? Where do you go in a time of trouble? Where do you go in a time of sorrow? You go to the Lord. And who is it that gives you comfort? Who is it that strengthens you? It is the Lord. And he says, that's what I'm going to do to these people. I'm going to bring them back into the land. Things are going to be much better. But still, there will be times of weariness. There will be times of sorrow. But I'm here. I'm here. And we need to remember, the Lord is always here. And the Lord is always ready to comfort his people, to strengthen his people. Go to the Lord, you see. But then there seems to be, in closing, this testimony by Jeremiah. He says in verse 26, after this I awoke and looked around me, and my sleep was sweet to me. And so it seems reasonable to interpret this revelation, this word from God, came to Jeremiah as a dream while he was asleep. It could be he went to bed. He was very troubled about what was going on and what might happen. But then the Lord reveals to him, this is what I'm going to do. He says, I awoke. And my sleep was sweet to me. Having had this promise given to him by God, he would, from here on, he would sleep much better. A word from God. And here, some time back, I was reading about a man who's a Bible teacher. And he's made a practice that before he goes to sleep or to bed at night, he reads some portion of the Word of God, or he listens to some portion of the Word of God. For you see, he says, I want to go to bed with that upon my mind and that upon my heart, rather than all my troubles and rather than all my anxieties. I will take with me to my pillow a word from God and give myself to prayer. And he says, you know, that's made a big difference in my life. And so, as Christian people, we could consider that. Before we pillow our heads, consider a word from God. Have that upon your mind. Have that in your heart. And give yourself to prayer. And it very well could be that sleep will be very sweet. Let us pray together. Our Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for informing us about how you have dealt with your people of old. For indeed you are the God who changes not. And people change very little. And so, Lord, as you dealt with your people of old, so you continue to deal with us. And Lord God, you are the one who continually brings us back into fellowship with you, because we have that proneness to stray. And our Lord God, you are the one to whom we go again and again with all of our troubles and with all of our sorrows. And you are the one who gives us aid. You are the one who gives us comfort. And so, Lord God, as Jeremiah received promises from you, so we realize that we have oh so many promises. And as we enter into this coming week, may we remember that promise that you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Indeed, you have said that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. And we have again that word that says, you make all things work together for our good. And Lord, you have revealed again that as your sons and daughters, you do correct us, you do chasten us. And it is something that you do out of love to conform us more into the image of Jesus Christ. And so as we enter into this coming week, may we remember your truth and may we feed upon your promises. Help us in this matter. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.